Jason, it's Packers Week. We'll talk all about that and more coming up on Halas Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears are 9-3. Packers are 8-3-1. The winning team on Sunday at Lambeau Field will be in first place in the NFC North. If it's the Bears, they will retain first place in the whole damn conference. Boy, this is about as exciting of a game week as the Bears have had in 7 years, probably.
Yeah, I mean, as far as national relevance and things like that, you always have to go back to 2018. That's pretty much it. The last significant Bears-Packers game that I can remember was that they had a big matchup at the end of 2020 at Soldier Field, and the Bears lost badly and kind of backed into the playoffs, into that 7 seed. But this is not only big in the sense that it has real stakes for both teams, which is not always a given in these. Usually these are – there's one early in the season, and then there's one very late in the season when the Bears don't have anything to play for because they're out of it at that point. This is not only huge, Patrick, for both of these teams, with the Bears holding what would you call it, a half-game lead over the division because Green Bay has that tie, but huge nationally. I mean, this is a massive game. I saw something the other day that this game is going to be on everywhere except, I want to say, L.A. and Phoenix, because maybe those teams are playing each other. A huge, huge NFL game. Not just a huge Bears-Packers game, a huge NFL game.
Yeah, my dad, who lives in Arizona, was complaining about that to me the other day. They're getting the Cardinal game. You know, it feels like nationally Fox tries to build up Bears-Packers every year. And realistically, there have been maybe 3 good games.
We always roll our eyes.
Yeah.
They put this game on national or primetime TV, and we're like, okay, we get it. It's like Yankees-Red Sox. But right. We're always sitting here like, I mean, this isn't really going to be that good of a game.
Well, and to be clear, we know it's important in Chicago. We know it's important in Green Bay. There are years when they try to make that into some national beef, which really isn't the case. But here you've got these teams playing for more than just pride. You have them playing for a really good position in the NFC. I think I read one of those prediction sites, Jason, that would move the Bears to about a 90% playoff chance if they can beat the Packers and move them back into like the mid-60s if they lose. Right now they're right about 70%. That is definitely a better odds than any of us would have bet on at the start of the year.
The Bears are in a great spot to make the playoffs regardless. I think they could get not that this would be a good thing for them, but they could get swept by Green Bay this week and 2 weeks from now and still make the playoffs. They're at 9 wins. They're going to get to 10 most likely with a win at home against Cleveland, who is a disaster. I mean, that's probably enough to get in, probably. 10-7 probably gets you in. Ben Johnson said 11 wins to get into the tournament the other day. I think it's because he's just trying to downplay where they're at and kind of keep them hungry and put some fear into them that one more win is not enough. But let me ask you this. We talked about this briefly last week. I think we should talk about it again. How much did your opinion of their chances of beating Green Bay, especially playing with and beating Green Bay at Lambeau Field, change with what you saw in the Eagles game?
It's as impressed as I've been by a game they've played in years. And what impressed me wasn't just that they did it. It was the way they did it. They did it with a run game that travels. I mean, that is, you know, that's the great thing at this time of year, indoors, outdoors, whatever. If you can run the football, you have a chance. And they did it with a defense that continues to be opportunistic. I'm still suspicious that a defense without a pass rush can turn out to be anything dangerous when the games really matter and when you're playing really good teams. And I think that it is instructive to know that the Bears and Patriots, who are the NFC leader and AFC leader right now, I believe have played, they've each played the two worst schedules in football in terms of winning percentage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not completely sold that the Bears are a juggernaut, but boy, I walked out of that stadium thinking a lot higher of them than I had going in.
I don't think they're a juggernaut, but I no longer have any doubts about them.
Right.
I don't think they're going to win this game, but I don't think it's a case where they don't have a chance. I continue to really like their schedule this year, just the way it sets up from a viewing standpoint, and I also incidentally think it happens to be kind of favorable to them. But I really like from a viewing standpoint here that they go up to Green Bay, They're going to get a firsthand look at what that team is, a team that many people still consider a high on the list championship contender. And then they get a chance to kind of regroup and come back and see them again 2 weeks later at Soldier Field. I don't have doubts about the Bears playing with anybody at this point. I would think going into any game they have a solid chance. I don't think they're going to happen to win this game, though.
I think they need to split. And I know you said, well, they can make the playoffs even if they get swept, and that's true. But if they want to position themselves to actually win their first playoff game since 2011, I think, then I think they've got to take one of two. Part of it, Jason, and we've talked about this, is, like, who scares you in the NFC? You know, I don't think there's any team left on the Bears' schedule that, you know, we presume the Bears are going to get smacked by. And when you look at the NFC at large, I mean, you're staring at what? L.A. maybe? L.A. just went and lost in Carolina. You're staring at Tampa? I mean, do they worry you? Do the Panthers worry you? I mean, the 49ers are intriguing, I think. But, you know, that's, you know, the Bears are going to be, what, field goal underdog probably for that game? That's not a – I mean, it seems like – like the Bears aren't going to play second fiddle to anybody. Whether they win or lose the game, I don't know. But I don't think they're going to be outclassed completely the way we would have thought at the start of the year.
I don't think they go against anybody and just get destroyed. And that was not something you were saying about this team last year. Now, you do have to remember, reality check, we saw them get blown out by the Lions. We just a month ago or so saw them lose handily in Baltimore to a backup quarterback and a struggling defense. They have just squeaked by teams like the Giants and Raiders. The Giants game was pretty recent. That was less than a month ago. The Steelers, for example, a really just floundering team. Bears beat them by a field goal at home. So they're not a juggernaut. I don't think right. anybody thinks that. But I don't think if you put them up against, you know, you just put them against the defending champs. If you put them against Green Bay or the Chiefs or any of these teams, I don't think that they're just going to be out of the game like they have been in years past.
I mean, they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. I think juggernaut, I mean, in a league where maybe there are no juggernauts, I think they have an argument. Like, I think that there's a, I mean, has any other team in football gone 9-1 in their last 10? I mean,
probably not. I mean, I wouldn't think so.
And we can obviously ding them.
Maybe the Patriots or the Colts or somebody.
Yeah, we can ding them for their schedule. And you know, that's fair. It's our job to look at this as objectively as we can. But boy, they are red hot at the very least, and it'll be really interesting to see. It'll also be interesting to see, as you look ahead at the schedule, there's a 3:25 game, obviously Sunday at Lambeau. You've got two primetime games, one on a Saturday night, one on a Sunday night against the Packers, and then the Niners, and then you've got a TBD game against Detroit. Jason, Detroit, as you and I record this right now, Detroit is playing Thursday night. We're recording Thursday afternoon. Detroit could be out of the playoff hunt by Sunday, by Friday morning, by next Sunday.
If they fell to 7-6, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, they're.
I hope they're not. Wouldn't that be great? A year-end game where the Bears have something at stake and the Lions need the game to get in.
Yeah, but I guess.
Ben Johnson's former team coming to Chicago, that'd be awesome.
I guess my point is there's a world where the Lions don't need the game because they're out.
Yeah.
And then you sit there and go, well, do you play your starters? Do you want Jared Goff to get hurt?
Yeah.
Like, there, that may shape up pretty well for the Bears, if it gets to that point. I think the Bears are hoping that it doesn't. You know, if you split your next four, that gets you to 11 wins at the very least.
Well, let's say, for argument's sake, every team they play the rest of the way is actually going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they got to play the actual Detroit and not Detroit sitting, with their starters or something. What do you think happens? The last five games are at Green Bay, home against the Browns, home against Green Bay, at San Francisco, and home against the Lions. They're 9-3 going into this. What do you think happens the last 5 weeks?
I think they win their home games. I think they go 3-2 with their wins at home. How about you?
So that puts them to 12-5.
12-5 may not win the NFC North, depending on what Green Bay does. But I think splitting against the Packers would be a very big deal in terms of not just making the playoffs, but making sure you try to position yourself to where you're not the 7 seed. And, you know, and your reward is you get to go to L.A. or, shoot, go to Green Bay. How would that be, Jason, if the Bears wound up in the first week of the playoffs having to travel to face the Packers. Let's say the Packers are second and the Bears are seventh. That would be the third game they would have played against them in a span of 6 weeks. That, boy, that'd be, I think it'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be epic.
But it would be, you know, a great test of both play callers, both offensive play callers, Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson. It seems like whatever sort of rivalry that Ben Johnson tried to stir up in January when he said he liked beating Matt LaFleur twice a year, and then in over the last couple of months when LaFleur has kind of made offhanded comments at him, neither seems to be in a rush to throw gasoline on it this week, at least.
That just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter what you come in and say. And I remember going up to Green Bay a few years ago and doing a story on Aaron Rodgers and him saying something to the effect of, I'm paraphrasing, about Ryan Poles take the North or about Matt Nagy or about – he's like he said something to the effect of they all say that when they come in.
Right.
And they all come and go.
Right.
Matt Nagy, Eberflus, Poles, and now you have Ben Johnson doing it. I want to beat Matt. I like beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. It just doesn't matter at all until you win. If you start winning – and making it a rivalry, then it gets nasty in a good way. Then it gets hotly competitive again like it used to be and becomes not only a must-watch game in the local markets but nationally.
I don't know whether you remember when Jim Harbaugh was at Stanford.
No, I don't.
Okay, so he got to Stanford. Stanford was horrible.
As a coach?
As a coach, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And they were horrible, and they played USC, and Jim just couldn't stop yapping at Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
And they went over the years from – remember, it was what's your deal or whatever at midfield. And eventually they get to the point where Stanford, I think, is a 30-point underdog and wins the game. And when you're so down and a team that you want to rile up is so good, I think that's the appropriate move. I think putting your middle or your pointer finger in the chest of the bully is a good strategic decision, and I think that that's what Ben Johnson did.
But you just look silly if you can't back it up. I mean, think how often that take the North and never give it back line gets thrown back in Ryan Poles' face.
And what was
all the time?
And what was the context of him using it? When did he say it? Tell the people.
At his introductory press conference, that was the goal, to take the North, like they all do, as Aaron Rodgers says. They all come, and when you come in, especially at that point, and you say take the North, you're talking about Green Bay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clearly.
Yeah, and that's what Ben said in his introductory press conference with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, and I wrote about this earlier in the week, Jason, but Caleb's 1-0 at Lambeau Field. No Bears quarterback since Jay Cutler, well, Jay Cutler didn't do it either, has won two games at Lambeau Field. Do we take away anything from their Week 18 win last year that is instructive this year? That, you know, the Bears beat up on, you know, a backup Packers quarterback because Jordan Love got hurt in the second quarter. Christian Watson, I believe his knee exploded in the second quarter as well. You know, they needed a field goal at the buzzer to win a game that Green Bay didn't need to win to make the playoffs. Does that matter one bit right now?
I don't think it does.
Okay.
Do you?
I think it might individually for Caleb Williams. I think it may give him some confidence.
I think he threw for like 140 yards in that game,
And I think that, you know, if the Bears were going into this week and part of the storyline was the Bears have lost 12 in a row against the Packers, I think that would weigh a little bit on them. By winning the game, you know, you can't say that. I think it matters a little. I don't think it's a huge deal, but they're going to need Caleb to play well if they're going to win. And they can't – it feels like they're phrasing it the same way week in and week out, which is, you know, we're winning in spite of our pass game, not because of it. And, boy, if that could switch a little bit, Jason, I think the ceiling on them both Sunday and moving forward is pretty big. And that's the exciting part, right?
This is the thing you've been waiting for all year, is for Caleb Williams to take that next step. And it's interesting, we've gotten to this stage, Patrick, where we're using – the passing game as a euphemism for Caleb Williams.
Right.
I know there are other factors, but your starting point on that is always going to be the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree, throw out his game in Philly. Mm-hmm. The weather was a major factor in that. The field condition itself and the wind and the cold. The running game was working so well. I wouldn't worry about that. But there is a bigger picture, a broader body of work here and a track record going back to last season with the throwing accuracy that concerns you, and that's got to be better. You and this is a frustrating thing to a conversation to have a lot of times is it should be okay to say, hey, I still see a lot of potential. I still see Caleb Williams, big picture, being their guy and getting a second contract. Also, it's not great right now.
Right.
I think it should be okay to say both things.
Yeah, well, and both things can be true. I mean,
for a while, they
can. I mean, you can't drop elbows on a quarterback who's won 9 of 10 games. You just can't. And especially when a couple of those wins, half those wins have been because of what he has been able to muster in the fourth quarter.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah, at the end, you know, anybody with a passer rating of whatever it is, 99 in the fourth quarter, is doing something right. But it also needs to be better. I talked to JT Barrett. He's the old Ohio State quarterback who's the Bears quarterback's coach now, and asked him about Ben's statement, you know, that, you know, throw out the stats or whatever it was that Ben said about Caleb's game on Sunday. And here's what he said.
Are you about to do a JT Barrett voice?
No, I'm not. The goal is to win the game. Nobody cares about stats. Nobody is going to care until it's time to get a job or a contract.
Well, getting a contract, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, that's pretty important.
It's a huge deal, and it will be a huge deal a year from now when the Bears can first start having conversations about, okay, are we going to extend this guy at the end of the season? What are we going to do with Caleb Williams? But is it possible that Bears fans who have not had a whole lot of winning in their lives for, I don't know, 40 years, are drawn to the nitpicking of whatever's going right just because it's been so long since you've been able to sit back and kind of enjoy something.
Yeah, there's desperation. Yeah. It's whiplash with quarterbacks in Chicago, and I completely understand why. And one of the things that I think about a lot is that the Green Bay fans, even though they are not showing that this year at all, they are notoriously patient. Well, they're notoriously patient because it's always worked, especially at quarterback. They've gone straight through from Favre to Rodgers to Love. Here, it's been these spurts where, oh, man, it looks like Rex Grossman is the guy. And, oh, for a game, it's like, oh, Kyle Orton could be the guy. And we did go through it here with Mitch. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mitch had 2018 in which the stats kind of lied to you. It was really, really inflated by one big game against one of the worst defenses in recent history in Tampa. And we did it with Justin, and it even happened with Bajent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Bajent stepped in and won a game, I think against the Raiders at home, there's this impulse to be like, okay, he's the guy.
Right.
Oh, he's not the guy. Okay, this next guy's the guy. Right. Oh, he's not the guy. And so it creates this desperation for whoever is the quarterback at the time to be the guy. Now, I would say that Caleb Williams is the most talented Bears quarterback that I can think of in my time watching the Bears, going back to like probably the mid-90s or early 90s when I was a kid.
And that's a bigger statement than it sounds like, because Jay Cutler, for all of his flaws, boy, he was talented.
Oh, yeah, Jay was really good, but I think Caleb's ceiling is well above that. And I think this will work, especially, I mean, you pair the top talent of that draft class coming in with the top offensive coach you can get. I mean, arguably, up there last year, even as a coordinator, one of the best offensive minds in the league, and you bring him in as your permanent head coach long term. Matching Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson will work long term. Short term, you have to see some results here if you want to make something out of this season. It's going to be really, really hard to keep winning, as Ben Johnson said, in spite of their passing game.
Every game they play the rest of the season's outdoors.
Yeah.
There's a playoff path where if you've got the Rams, who are a dome team in the playoffs, might they be the only NFC team that doesn't play outside that would make it? Seattle, not Tampa, right. Not.
Yeah, there's some warm weather places there still, but yes.
Is it possible that we are at the time of the year where even better quarterback stats start looking a lot more like Caleb's just because of what's going on in the out of doors?
Yeah, I mean, especially in these Bears games, when you have really good corners again, now that Kyler Gordon and Jalen Johnson are back, you're going to need Caleb to play better than the opposing quarterback.
Yes.
You're going to need him to play better than Jordan Love, and they're going against different defenses. You're going to need him to play better than Brock Purdy. You're going to need him to play better than Jared Goff if that's a real game at the end of the year. That's the bar for right now, is he's got to match or exceed what the opposing quarterback is doing.
Let's get into our picks real quick before we get out of here, Jason. Both you and I are of the same mind on Sunday. I've got the Packers winning 24-21 in overtime, because why not?
Why do you always pick overtime?
Because it's fun.
I feel like you do that all the time.
It's a fun exercise. Okay. I don't, right. Maybe once a year.
Okay.
And you've got the Packers 27-23. I think we're both of the belief that that they have a better chance in 2 weeks than they do at Lambeau Field against them, right?
I like the setup of it. This would be very hard going up to Lambeau, but you get a look at them, and then you get a chance to give it another shot 2 weeks later at home.
Among the other three Sun-Times prognosticators, I guess is the word I'll use,
yeah.
Two of the three have the Bears, believe it or not. Scoop Jackson, 21-20, and Mark Potash, 27-23. Steve Greenberg has the same pick with the exact same score that you do, Jason. So we will see. I think all of us, especially what it's, I think the weather's supposed to be somewhere between 1 and 20 there. I think we are seeing a very classic old school NFC North game, not necessarily something that's going to end up in the 30s for either team. Jason, we will be there and probably still be shivering by the time we settle in to do the podcast after the game. But until then, you can follow us at the Sun-Times website. Check us out on social media. And if you live in town, please buy a newspaper. He is Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.